Today is the ninth day of May. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we together bring another one of the weeks that we have to its conclusion. And it's our custom to take this moment to reflect. We start all our weeks brand new. We look at them, maybe set some intentions, really, really pay attention to ourselves, and then we get to the end of the week, and it's not like a grade or a judgment, but we reflect on how that went, because that allows us to begin to see our patterns. What are we still, like, what do we set this intention for, but that we continually find ourselves doing something different? What is that pattern? What is that attached to? What is that about? We become curious about ourselves enough to be honest with ourselves, and that makes us self-aware. And one of the main things, especially in the teachings of Jesus, are to look inside. Life is from within. You cannot arrange for it externally so that your interior life will be at peace. Your interior life has to be at peace, and then it doesn't really matter what's going on externally. It can't take your peace. So, I'm reflecting. You're reflecting. Let's at least take 5 minutes, truly, like 5 minutes, to reflect on your past week that will help your future. It's not a waste of time. It's a grand investment into wisdom. And so, glad to be here with you as we end another week and keep moving forward. We're in the book of 1 Samuel now. Today, chapters 5, 6, and 7. After the Philistines captured the covenant box, they carried it from Ebenezer to their city of Ashdod, took it to the temple of their god Dagon, and set it up beside his statue. Early the next morning, the people of Ashdod saw that the statue of Dagon had fallen face down on the ground in front of the Lord's covenant box. So they lifted it up and put it back in its place. Early the following morning, they saw that the statue had again fallen down in front of the covenant box. This time, its head and both its arms were broken off and they were lying in the doorway. Only the body was left. That is why, even today, the priests of Dagon and all his worshippers in Ashdod step over that place and do not walk on it. The Lord punished the people of Ashdod severely and terrified them. He punished them and the people in the surrounding territory by causing them to have tumors. When they saw what was happening, they said, "The God of Israel is punishing us and our God Dagon. We can't let the covenant box stay here any longer." So they sent messengers and called together all five of the Philistine kings and asked them, "What shall we do with the covenant box of the God of Israel?" "Take it over to Gath," they answered. So they took it to Gath, another Philistine city. But after it arrived there, the Lord punished that city too and caused a great panic. He punished them with tumors, which developed in all the people of the city, young and old alike. So they sent the covenant box to Ekron, another Philistine city. But when it arrived there, the people cried out, "They have brought the covenant box of the God of Israel here in order to kill us all." So again, they sent for all the Philistine kings and said, "Send the covenant box of Israel back to its own place so that it won't kill us and our families." There was panic throughout the city because God was punishing them so severely. Even those who did not die developed tumors, and the people cried out to their gods for help. After the Lord's covenant box had been in Philistia for 7 months, the people called the priests and the magicians and asked, What shall we do with the covenant box of the Lord? If we send it back where it belongs, what shall we send with it?" They answered, "If you return the covenant box of the Lord of Israel, you must, of course, send with it a gift to him to pay for your sin. The covenant box must not go back without a gift. In this way, you will be healed, and you will find out why he has kept on punishing you." "What gift shall we send him?" the people asked. They answered, "5 gold models of tumors, and 5 gold mice, 1 of each for each Philistine king. The same plague was sent on all of you and on the 5 kings. You must make these models of the tumors and of the mice that are ravaging your country, and you must give honor to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will stop punishing you, your gods, and your land. Why should you be stubborn, as the king of Egypt and the Egyptians were? Don't forget how God made fools of them until they let the Israelites leave Egypt. So prepare a new wagon and 2 cows that have never been yoked. Hitch them to the wagon and drive their calves back to the barn. Take the Lord's covenant box, put it on the wagon, and place in a box beside it the gold models that you are sending to him as a gift to pay for your sins. Start the wagon on its way and let it go by itself. Then watch it go. If it goes toward the town of Beth Shemesh, this means that it is the God of the Israelites who has sent this terrible disaster on us. But if it doesn't, then we will know that he did not send the plague. It was only a matter of chance." They did what they were told. They took 2 cows and hitched them to the wagon and shut the calves in the barn. They put the covenant box in the wagon, together with the box containing the gold models of the mice and of the tumors. The cows started off on the road to Beth Shemesh and headed straight toward it, without turning off the road. They were mooing as they went. The 5 Philistine kings followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. The people of Beth Shemesh were reaping wheat in the valley when suddenly they looked up and saw the covenant box. They were overjoyed at the sight. The wagon came to a field belonging to a man named Joshua, who lived in Beth Shemesh, and it stopped near a large rock. The people chopped up the wooden wagon and killed the cows and burned them as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. The Levites lifted off the covenant box of the Lord and the box with the gold models in it and placed them on the large rock. Then people of Beth Shemesh offered burnt sacrifices and other sacrifices to the Lord. The 5 Philistine kings watched them do this and then went back to Ekron that same day. The Philistines sent the 5 gold tumors to the Lord as a gift to pay for their sins. 1 each for the cities of Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. They also sent gold mice, 1 for each of the cities ruled by the 5 Philistine kings, both the fortified towns and the villages without walls. The large rock in the field of Joshua, of Beth Shemesh, on which they placed the Lord's covenant box, is still there as a witness to what happened. The Lord killed 70 of the men of Beth Shemesh because they looked inside the covenant box, and the people mourned because the Lord had caused such a great slaughter among them. So the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who can stand before the Lord, this holy God? Where can we send him to get him away from us?" They sent messengers to the people of Kiriath Jearim to say, "The Philistines have returned the Lord's covenant box. Come down and get it." So the people of Kiriath Jearim got the Lord's covenant box and took it to the house of a man named Abinadab, who lived on a hill. They consecrated his son Eleazar to be in charge of it. The covenant box of the Lord stayed in Kiriath Jearim a long time, some 20 years. During this time, all the Israelites cried to the Lord for help. Samuel said to the people of Israel, "If you are going to turn to the Lord with all your hearts, you must get rid of all the foreign gods and the images of the goddess Astarte. Dedicate yourselves completely to the Lord and worship only Him, and He will rescue you from the power of the Philistines." So the Israelites got rid of their idols of Baal and Astarte and worshiped only the Lord. Then Samuel called for all the Israelites to meet at Mizpah, telling them, "I will pray to the Lord for you there." So they all gathered at Mizpah. They drew some water and poured it out as an offering to the Lord and fasted that whole day. They said, "We have sinned against the Lord." It was at Mizpah where Samuel settled disputes among the Israelites. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites had gathered at Mizpah, the five Philistine kings started out with their men to attack them. The Israelites heard about it and were afraid and said to Samuel, "Keep praying to the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines." Samuel killed a young lamb and burned it whole as a sacrifice to the Lord. Then he prayed to the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered his prayer. While Samuel was offering the sacrifice, the Philistines moved forward to attack. But just then the Lord thundered from heaven against them. They became completely confused and fled in panic. The Israelites marched out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines almost as far as Betkar, killing them along the way. Then Samuel took a stone, set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and said, "The Lord has helped us all the way." And he named it Stone of Help. So the Philistines were defeated, and the Lord prevented them from invading Israel's territory as long as Samuel lived. All the cities which the Philistines had captured between Ekron and Gath were returned to Israel, and so Israel got back all its territory. And there was peace also between the Israelites and the Canaanites. Samuel ruled Israel as long as he lived. Every year he would go around to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and in these places he would settle disputes. Then he would go back to his home in Ramah, where he also would serve as judge. In Ramah, he built an altar to the Lord. John 6:1-21. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, as it is also called. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing the sick. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked around and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, so he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip, actually. He already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another one of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but they will certainly not be enough for all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus told them. There was a lot of grass there, so all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste a bit." So they gathered them all and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle that Jesus had performed, the people there said, Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world. Jesus knew that they were about to come and seize him in order to make him king by force, so he went off again to the hills by himself. When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake, got into a boat, and went back across the lake toward Capernaum. Night came on, and Jesus still did not come to them. By then a strong wind was blowing and stirring up the water. The disciples had rowed about 3 or 4 miles when they saw Jesus walking on the water, coming near the boat, and they were terrified. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told them. "It is I." Then they willingly took him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached land at the place they were heading for. Psalm 106, 13 through 31. But they quickly forgot what he had done and acted without waiting for his advice. They were filled with craving in the desert and put God to the test, so he gave them what they asked for, but also sent a terrible disease among them. There in the desert, they were jealous of Moses and of Aaron, the Lord's holy servant. Then the earth opened up and swallowed Dathan and buried Abiram and his family. Fire came down on their followers and burned up those wicked people. They made a gold bull calf at Sinai and worshipped that idol. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an animal that eats grass. They forgot the God who had saved them by his mighty acts in Egypt. What wonderful things he did there! What amazing things at the Red Sea! When God said that he would destroy his people, his chosen servant Moses stood up against God and kept his anger from destroying them. Then they rejected the pleasant land because they did not believe God's promise. They stayed in their tents and grumbled and would not listen to the Lord. So he gave them a solemn warning that he would make them die in the desert and scatter their descendants among the heathen, letting them die in foreign countries. Then at Peor, God's people joined in the worship of Baal and ate sacrifices offered to dead gods. They stirred up the Lord's anger by their actions, and a terrible disease broke out among them. But Phinehas stood up and punished the guilty, and the plague was stopped. This has been remembered in his favor ever since, and will be for all time to come. Proverbs 14, 32 and 33. Wicked people bring about their own downfall by their evil deeds, but good people are protected by their integrity. Wisdom is in every thought of intelligent people. Fools know nothing about wisdom. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another week. We are deeply grateful for our community. We are deeply grateful for this new home that we're in, and we look forward to a very, very long future here as we continue to build and grow and knit ourselves together in ways that are remarkable. We could have never imagined this 100 years ago if that were the time that we came to Earth to live. You've placed us on the Earth at a time of remarkable advancements in technology. Sometimes that's scary to us, but we are in your care. And we are here at this time because you put us here at this time. So having this way to be a community all through the four corners of the earth, knit together each and every day, taking a step forward is truly, well, it would have been miraculous just a century ago. And so thank you for letting us be here to do this and pioneer this work. Thank you for this week. Help us to reflect, Holy Spirit. Help us to truly actually begin to embrace the idea of observing ourselves, of trying to become aware of ourselves. Jesus continually asked the question, do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? So often this is referring to what is really going on underneath the surface. What is going on behind our eyes? What's really going on beside the mask that we're wearing? Because that's where the truth lies. That's what's real. And so as we continue to move forward, that's what we are opening ourselves to in your word. To penetrate into what is real and to shake apart what is false. Even the lies that we tell ourselves about ourselves, whether to make us superior, whether to make us grander, whether to make us lower, or to consider ourselves incapable. The trauma, the wounds of our lives, they all came with messages that indeed have spoken like tapes playing in our head ever since, that have shaped us to believe things that may have no basis in truth at all about who we really are. And so, Spirit, come, help us to watch ourselves. Help us to learn, not so that we can condemn ourselves and have more horrible things to think about ourselves, or for that matter, to elevate ourselves in ways that are completely inappropriate. We seek the truth of who we were created to be. We seek union with you. And as we pursue that union and unity and wisdom in all the other relationships of our lives, they begin to align because we are beginning to align with your love flowing through us. Help us. Help us make this a category and a priority. This is our life. We don't have to wander completely aimlessly and confused. We actually have the power to have intentionality, and you gave us that power. We get to create our life. You created our lives and gave us life, and you have allowed us to create what that looks like. Help us to learn to do it well. Leave this world better for it, in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base. They are, like, very, very tightly integrated. The mobile app, the web app, all of everything Daily Audio Bible is very tightly integrated. It's home base. Be connected to home base in any way that you can, any way that you want to, any way that you will, as connecting to home base is, well, connecting to Command Central as we take this voyage across the Bible and through the year together. And so being connected, well, it's an important thing as a community. Check out the community section. I've been talking about that. I mentioned several different aspects of it because it's all new here in the new app. It's all new. Check out the prayer wall. It's all new. We've had a prayer wall for a very long time, but a much more integrated, cohesive, knit together prayer wall that is definitely integrated into the system and ways that we can better utilize as community members. So check out the new prayer wall that can be found in the community section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. If the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone, anytime, anywhere, and to build community around that rhythm so that no one is left behind, no one has to be alone. If that is life-giving to you, then thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian, and I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, DAB community. It is Sunday morning, May the 3rd, and I want to lift up a family and a community. This is Steve from Northwest Arkansas, and we've had a tragedy in our community. Young man took his own life earlier this week, and I just want y'all to be praying for his mom and his dad and his sister and for this community. Really impacted so many young people, and yesterday at his funeral, the church was packed with young people, and they got to hear the message of hope and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I just want to lift them up. So if you would pray with me, God, be with this family, be with this community, be with so many young people that are struggling, hurting, not knowing where to go when they need someone to share their burdens. So God, we lift them up to you. We lift up this mom and this dad that are so broken. We just pray that you would be with them, be with our community, that you would give people hope, Lord, right here and across this country. God, I thank you for the opportunity to speak to some of these kids, and just pray, Lord, that you help their hearts, help our community. I'm thankful for the DAB community. I know there's so many that will be praying, God, and just bless them as well. Thank you all. Steve from Northwest Arkansas.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Kay from Ohio. I wanted to ask for prayer. I just lost my mother today. And yeah, we are devastated. Kind of cut off guard. Went to the emergency room on Tuesday afternoon. But God showed his faithful hand and he kept her, and she did not suffer at all. But she did leave us here, and it's hard. As you guys know, as I pray for so many of you, it's hard. It's something you think you understand until you get there. So to all those who are still going through yourselves, I am still praying for you as I pray for myself and try to lean on God more as the hurt builds. Please pray for my siblings and my father. My mom had one remaining sister. Lots of nieces and nephews, grandchildren. Thank you so much.
Good morning. I want to respond to a few prayer requests. First, the woman from Bakersfield who has some issues postpartum with her, I think it might be her second child. And her body's just not responding well or healing or recovering as quickly as she would like. And so, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would just give her discernment and wisdom on the things that she needs to do that she can be proactive with, the low-hanging fruit, things like adjusting her diet, prioritizing sleep, which might not be realistic given a four-month-old in the house, but things that are easily controllable. And then we ask that you just allow her to let go of the things that she can't control. But seek help with doctors, and we just ask the doctors to have wisdom and discernment when looking at her situation. I also want to pray for the woman, Deneen, that called in for her dad. He's still battling lung cancer, and it's kind of taken a turn for the worst with an infection. So we pray, Lord, we can hear in her voice the great love she has for her father. And we thank you for fathers that show their children love, and as you have shown us love, how to love. And we just ask that you would heal him, Lord. We know that your will and your plan is above our will and plans, but we ask out of obedience that you heal him. And I also want to lift up the woman who called in, who's just finding herself more or less miserable over the last 8 years, mumbling and grumbling. Lord, we just ask that your spirit would fall on her, and she would have the joy of the resurrection and the spirit.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning praying for this podcast, praying, Father God, and thanking you for the Harden family, all those behind the scenes that make this podcast possible, Father. I also pray and thank you for your word being spread all around the world. Please, Lord, let each of us that hear it, read it, and listen to it, receive it on good soil, Father. Help us to receive it, understand it, apply it to our lives, and spread it to others, and most importantly, be doers of your word. I pray and thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. Nothing is impossible for you, Father, so I lift this community up to you, praying that you heal and bless and keep us. I pray this prayer in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Love you all. This is Cynthia from Virginia. Thank you.
This is Redeemed in Southern Illinois. I wanted to call in a prayer for Elva and her brother. He was in Southern Indiana. He had surgery and was recovering from that. And then now something else has happened, and it's related to his heart. And they were rushing him to Bloomington, Indiana. Oh, Elva, we lift up your brother and you and your entire family. We pray that things are all settled down by now, and that he's fully recovered. We just lift him up to you, Lord, and surround Elva and the rest of the family in this time of health concern. We love you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm calling from Las Vegas. I love my Jesus so much, but I need help in getting a stronger relationship with him. For I don't know where to start, how to go about making him my everything. That's all I want, is for him to be my everything. Life gets in the way. Trials and tribulations. But still, I go back to one thing. The Lord, my Jesus, please pray for me. Pray that I can get there. Pray that I can make him my everything. I'm trying, and I just don't know what else to do.